Good morning. Welcome to Lopez. Thank you. It's good to be here this morning and, really just to do church together. Obviously, that's under assault right now. I hope that you would pray for the leaders who are actually shepherds. They're not hirelings like we have across this landscape of our country, but they're actually shepherds out in Calvary Chapel, San Jose, who are experiencing much blowback for doing this, what we were called to do by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not some pompous man that sits in some capital of some state. But please pray for them. They have fines that are in the millions. They have personal fines that are in the tens of thousands. And they have been threatened jail time. That's Calvary Chapel, San Jose, McClure. And I can't remember his youth pastor's name. But you know what? Those are the examples of the church. You know, not this stuff that, you know, draws a lot of attention to itself and says praise God at the end of some great thing, but people who lay down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's not what just some pastor in California is called to. That's what the saints of God are called to. And that's the call that we have to answer today. So please pray for them. You know, I think it would be an injustice for us not to mention what they're going through. And obviously we've caught a little bit of it here ourselves, but we're just going to keep being bad in their sight to be good in His sight. Father, we thank You so much for the honor that it is to just give You the worship that You deserve, Lord, not from our lips, but from our hearts. And Lord, we recognize that part of that worship, our reasonable service or our acceptable worship in Your eyes, is that we would offer our lives, our bodies, Lord, a living sacrifice. So we pray today, Father, that we would embrace a biblical form of Christianity, that we would recognize, Lord, that we are a people that has been bought with a price. We've been called to come out from among them and be separate, and we've been called to live a life of surrender and submission to Your loving lordship and leadership in our lives. So we pray for the areas of lives, Lord, that are out of bounds with You, that You would use today as we gather together, as You're here in the midst of Your church, that You would bring these things in our lives where they need to be with You, that You'd use today, Lord, to bring great encouragement to us. We bless Your name, Lord. We thank You for adopting us into Your family and making us part of the forever family, Lord, that we get to spend it with You in Your kingdom because of what You were willing to do, what You chose to do on the cross for us, that it would be paid in full. Thank You for the blood You are willing to shed to cover our sins and to make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Revelation 20 today. More good news. If you know Christ, if you're here today, maybe you're seeking, or if you're here today and you're playing games, it'd be a great day to give your life to Jesus Christ. You will not regret it. Trust me, after 27 years of walking with Jesus Christ, it is the single best decision I ever made in my existence. So we're in Revelation chapter 20, okay? And what we're looking at here now, as we follow the sequence of Revelation, the book of Revelation, we went through the church age, we went through the tribulation period, and we saw last week the great victory of our King coming, like we sang about today, crowned with many crowns. He comes crowned with many crowns on His head. Those royal diadems of a ruling monarch coming back to rule planet Earth with the armies of heaven, you and me with Him, coming back to this earth. Okay, so these events, these are the immediate events that proceed after the second coming of Jesus Christ, the physical return of Jesus Christ. This is what we move into now. And I'm going to try to keep it simple and orderly and trust that God will give us the ability to understand some of these things. We have a lot to look forward to. But verse 1 and 2, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season or a short period of time. We recognize today in the spiritual realm there's three major catastrophes taking place. All right? And I think number one major, you can't really rank them. I think they all go hand in hand. They work against us. They work against the glory of God. They work in harmony with rebellion to Jesus Christ and His Word. But number one is a fallen archangel by the name of Lucifer. You see, we can't look at these things without bringing an awareness to each one of us that we're in the midst of a battle. Okay, there's a huge battle that's taking place. So these major spiritual catastrophes that we deal with day in and day out is that there is a fallen archangel by the name of Lucifer that we know, Satan, who is on the loose. He's on the loose. He's got principalities and powers, dominions and authorities, the rankings of his dark legion going against the saints of Almighty God, trying to keep people from fulfilling their God-given purposes and trying to keep people blind so they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we've also got our fallen nature. Okay, fallen nature is our nature that we're born, the sin nature that we're born with, that now that we have the Spirit in us, that we've got to choose to crucify that area of our life. It's what Jeremiah said, you know, our heart being deceitful and wicked above all things, okay? Job tells us that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, that man is a few days, but he's full of trouble. Why? It's because of that fallen nature that we've been born with, that only the spirit nature can tame in our life. And then also, as these two things work in harmony with one another, we have this fallen world system, okay? This fallen world system. So behind it, we have satanic influence, whether it be Hollywood, whether it be MTV, whether it be Planned Parenthood, or many of these other entities, you know, fallen religious systems, things that Satan has just worked into the system to try to keep you and I in spiritual dark, to keep people away from Jesus Christ. But basically what we're coming down to here by looking at this is we need to recognize, and I hope you do, and I think you do, that there's a great conflict in the spiritual realm that manifests itself in the physical realm. There's a strategic battle plan in place for the demise and destruction of each one of us that are in this room. Each one of us, okay? None of us are off the enemy's menu. You know, he seeks, he goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wants to do. He wants to devour lives. So as we look around, we should have compassion. We should have sympathy for one another and recognizing that each one of us come in here fighting our own wars, fighting our own battles, recognizing that the enemy is relentless in his pursuit of our demise and our destruction. So what that ought to birth in us really is a compassion and a love for one another where we fight for one another, not fight with one another. I think the crime of the church is too often there's too much fighting with one another, not enough fighting for one another. And Nehemiah told us that we need to fight for our wives and our children and our friends. So there's a war that's at hand, and we've been called to really lift one another up, speak truth into one another, to love one another. Because look, here's something. I want to just give us a biblical view of church, okay? And this is what I think is so important. I've shared it with some of you as individuals. But, you know, church is not just this. I hope that we get that. I mean, the Word of God is very important. And for me to teach you the Bible week after week, I want God to teach me so I can teach you. This is a huge part. We do center a majority of our service around the Word of God because the Word of God is the personification of who Jesus Christ is, okay? But really, it's a piece of the pie, okay? It's just a piece of the pie. But when we get together and you're here and you're exercising your gifts and you're speaking love and you're speaking life and truth and testimonies and you're praying for one another, a lot of these things happen after church. A lot of these things happen during the greeting. You know, and as we're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords together, and as our gifts, people are serving today. People are upstairs praying for you, praying for me today. Right now as we speak, there's people downstairs taking care of your babies. They're teaching your kid the Word of God. There's people running the sound system back there. We got the parking lot crew. But we're all exercising these gifts because the Bible says that each joint needs to supply what the body needs as a whole so that we would be built up in the love of God. This is so essential what we're doing. It's so essential in what we're doing. You see, there's a great counterfeit out there because what's happened in the last year that I'm just going to sit on my couch and I'm going to watch church on TV. You know, and the kids will come in and a dog will bark and then I got to go to the bathroom and I got to get a cup of coffee. And then by the time the message is over, watching it online or whatever, it's like I don't even know what book he was in or she, you know, what book they were teaching about today. You being here today is as important as anybody else being here today, which includes any pastor, which includes the worship team, which includes any of that. Because God designed it for me, for you to need me, and for me to need you. Okay? I'm not going to sit here like this pompous, prideful pastor thinking that all my church needs is my teaching online, and that's church. No. I play a piece of the pie. A piece of the pie. If that was my mindset, that would be pride at maximum. We need each other. We need to weep with those who are weeping. We need to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We need iron to sharpen iron. That's the way that God has intended it. We're dependent on His work in one another's life so that we can help one another and encourage one another until we cross the finish line. That's what church is. Centered around the person of Jesus Christ, giving him worship, giving him attention through the Word of God. But we need to see it. Look at, don't ever settle for the mindset, hey, if I make it twice a month, if I make it once a month, if I make it three times a month. You know, don't ever settle for that. If you can get here, get here. Be with God's people. Let's let the Word of God wash us and renew us together. Let's experience the presence of God as we beg His presence to be here strong and to move in our midst and to do what He needs to do in each one of our lives, to love one another. So we see here how important this really is for us, and we see the war that is going on right now. But here's one of the things I want you to remember, that you're in a battle, okay? And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're spiritual, and they're very mighty, Paul tells us. But think about this right now, because this is the calling to you, Christian, okay? This is our calling. You got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, okay? Don't lose sight of that, man. You've been position in an army, all right? Not an army that goes out there militant to bring any harm to anyone, but an army that holds the ground of truth and honors Jesus Christ and looks for the opportunities to win other people into our camp because they're lost and they're perishing. And because of that, because we're to endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ, that no man warreth, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life that you might please him who's chosen us to be a soldier. We've got to be careful because the things of life can wrap themselves around us like a constrictor and begin to choke the life out of us of everything that God has ordained for you and me. Don't get entangled. It's not worth it. You want to get yourself entangled? Get yourself entangled in the Word of God. Let this wrap around us. Let it wrap around our mind and our heart. Let it wrap around our relationships that we have with one another. We see here that the devil's going to be locked up, all right? But during the tribulation period, I want you to think about this as we're looking at the current situation that we find ourselves in. In the tribulation, we saw that Satan had a great involvement in two systems. One was political, one was religious. Okay? So the political system and the religious system of the tribulation period, the seventh-year time period, there was a huge satanic involvement. These were the two primary places where the devil was at work. Think about that today. You think things have changed? Think about the two systems that opposed Jesus Christ and tried to stop the early church, right? The political system and the religious system. There is a religious system right now that's truly in the birth canal that is coming, that we just saw as we traveled through Revelation, that will tolerate every belief, but will remain intolerant to the one belief that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That system is on its way. We're going to see here of what these believers during this time period, what they had to deal with. So I love this. I saw an angel come down from heaven, okay? It's not Jesus, all right? Not that Jesus had to go, oh, the devil's on the loose. You better send Jesus, because Christians have this mindset that the opposite of Jesus is the devil. Not even close. Lucifer was a created being. Jesus Christ is the creator of all beings. And he, look, God doesn't even say, Michael or Gabriel, you guys go get him. He's probably just up, hey, you, get down there and chain him up. Who, me? You know, just one of the angels. Just one unnamed angel comes down from heaven. Look at this. He has the key, singular, key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. The key to the bottomless pit. And a great chain. You know what I like about this? It's time the devil reaps. Think about the people that we know that he's got in chains these days. Chained up and incarcerated. The world calls it addiction. We don't call it addiction spiritually, biblically. There's satanic strongholds over people's lives. It's got people in chains. The only hope they've got isn't some counterfeit treatment or some form of secular counseling. The only hope they have is Jesus Christ. The same hope that you and I had for all the issues that we were strung out on in our lives. So he's got this great chain, right? And it says here that he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And look at, he bound him for 1,000 years. Now this is a portion of the Word of God where we recognize that there's a millennium coming, okay? A 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. This is where we get it from, because 6 times specifically is mentioned 1,000 years, okay? So these are a literal 1,000 years that we're looking at here on this planet. So he lays hold of a dragon, okay? That old serpent. When we think of old serpent, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden, right? He showed up as the shining one, and he duped Eve, right, into going against what God has said. And we need to remember that Satan's attack is always against the Word of God, okay? Always against the Word of God. What's he trying to do? Even in our lives today, what he's trying to do in our lives is he's trying to get you and I to be okay with sin, trying to get us okay with compromise, trying to get us to be okay with rebellion, okay? That's what he wants. He wants to knock us off course by doing these things. So he's that old serpent up to his old tricks, okay, which is the devil and Satan. And look at this. He's going to bind him for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? So up to this point, what we have is we have the false satanic religious system has been judged and destroyed. Okay? Think about that, all right? All these lying worship centers. All these, you know, the ones Jesus said, many are going to come in my name. They're going to call themselves Christian. But they're going to divert from true gospel, from Jesus, the true Jesus Christ. Okay? So the false satanic religious system judged and destroyed. False satanic economic and political system judged and destroyed. Antichrist, false prophet. You got a one-way, no return pass to the lake of fire. Okay, that's where they're at. All right? The armies that defied and rebelled against God, right, they've become the buzzard buffet. I mean, they have been destroyed. And now the devil's incarcerated under lock and key for 1,000 years. Things are looking up, aren't they? I think God gives a section of Scripture like this just to remind us it's not always going to be this way. I get sick of the unrighteousness. I get sick of the injustice. I get sick of all the wrong being called right and all the right being called wrong. But it's only temporal. We're eternal. God's plan's eternal. You know, so these things, I mean, what we're looking at here in Revelation chapter 20 could be taking place a little over 7 years from now. A little over, can you imagine the devil being chained up in about 7 years from now? How wonderful would that be? Okay, so we see here that he's cast into the bottomless pit and they shut him up. What a great day when he's going to shut up. Isn't it amazing for us as believers that God speaks with that still small voice and it's so hard to hear, but man, that roaring lion is so easy to hear with all his condemnation, with all his accusation, with all his lies and temptations and everything else. So he's going to be shut up. They're going to set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he's going to be loosed for a short season. You know, the whole world is going to be protected because he's going to be sealed off. Okay? He's going to be sealed off. So the seal does what? Okay, the key and the seal locks him up. Earlier, if you remember in the book of Revelation, you know, no harm was allowed to come to anyone until the servants of God were sealed in their forehead. Remember that? 144,000 were sealed. Okay, and what happened later on? Hey, you can go out and remember the demonic locust scorpion hybrids? Remember those guys going around and tormenting everybody? People couldn't die for like a 5-month time period, but he said, look at the ones who have the seal of God, you got to leave them alone. You can't touch them. There was a form of protection there, right? There was a form of protection from anything demonic, anything satanic was protected because of that seal. Planet Earth will be protected because of this seal. Now think about this. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us you and I were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now think about how we've been protected. Think about God's protection over our lives, but remember, it's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. That protection is good as you remain underneath His lordship and underneath His leading. A lot of Christians have gone out and self-inflicted themselves in their walk with Christ simply because of what? Because they came out of underneath the leading of the Holy Spirit and the seal of protection in their life. So we see here, it says here that he's going to be loose for a little season, and we'll look at that, but he says that he's not going to deceive the nations anymore. Now, think about this right now, okay? So he's not going to be able to deceive the nations anymore. If deception leads to destruction, okay? If we conclude that deception leads to destruction, what does truth lead to? Truth leads to life. Where does truth come from? Well, I don't know about you, but I choose to bank on the very fact that the one who died and 3 days later rose himself from the grave, just like he said he would, told us that the word of God is truth, then I think I'll set up camp there. That his word is truth. So if I'm walking in His Word, I'm not saying that the enemy's not going to harass me. I'm not going to say he's going to be relentless in my life. I'm not going to say it's easy street or that we got some kind of exemption from hardships, from trials, from refining fires in our life or whatever. But what I am saying, if you follow His truth, it will lead you to life, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He said that I've come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly, and we can't really experience the true abundance of life that we're promised in Jesus Christ unless we're walking in the truth of Jesus Christ, okay? That's our invitation to Him. A lot of people want the benefits of Christianity, but they don't want the path that gets them there. You know what I mean? We want... Maybe they see you as an example. I want what you want. I just don't want to get there the way you did. So he says here, now think about it, 1,000-year period. No more lies. No more counterfeits. No more false accusation. No more deception, because the source has been extinguished for 1,000 years. In verse 4, this is where we're going to be looking at a few things here. And I saw thrones. I saw thrones. And they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So we look at this. We look at this 1,000-year time period. We recognize Christ has come back. He set up his throne. There's going to be this 1,000-year reign on the earth. But where are we? Where are we? What's going on in our lives? Okay. First of all, we need to remember that at the rapture, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the corruption of who we are is put on incorruption. The mortality of who we are has put on immortality. Okay. So we're in our perfected and glorified state back here on the earth. Okay. We've come back with him. Not the mess that we are now, fixed. We're totally fixed. All right, we're back here, and we're glorified, and according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, is that we are going to rule with him because we've been an overcomer, and we're going to have responsibilities here that are going to be granted to us in the future based upon our faithfulness now in the present. Okay? Your position in heaven, the responsibilities and the position that you have there, and what you're going to be called to do in the future is based upon your faithfulness now here in the present. God's always looking for us to be faithful in those little things. Obviously, we've come back. Revelation 19, the armies of heaven followed him on white horses. We've been clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We saw that was us at the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. Prior to that, Jude 14 said that Enoch prophesied that the Lord comes with 10,000s of thousands of his saints to do what? To execute judgment. Well, wait a minute. So I'm not just coming back. I'm coming back glorified. But some of us will have a position to execute judgment. Well, we're here now. Think about it. Okay, I know Armageddon got wiped out, okay? Like I said earlier, that's the buzzard buffet, right? All the bowels of the air came and eat the kings and great men and small men and every other man, you know, the armies from the east and just a multitude of people there in the Valley of Megiddo. But we got to take our visual expanse beyond this battle. We got a whole globe. We got a whole globe of people that are alive during this time period. And just like we now in this dispensation, they then in that dispensation, they also have a decision to make. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says that the saints will judge the world. So we will execute judgment after the second coming, okay? Now, there's a whole globe at this time that still stands accountable. One of the things I want you to recognize, I'm just going to lay this out real quickly, okay? We've been raptured in chapter 4, okay? We're out of here. God hasn't appointed us to judgment. Look it. If Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior and you're here today, you're in trouble. Today's the day of your salvation. You need to get saved before you leave here today. Because there's a lot coming to this world that the book of Revelation has told us about. We've been looking at for months. So we're raptured, right? We're in heaven. We have a marriage supper of the Lamb because we're the bride of Christ. We come back with Jesus Christ at the second coming. Jesus wipes out all the forces that have rebelled against him in the Valley of Megiddo at this great war of Armageddon. So we come back, okay? We come back. We're in our glorified state. We're perfected, okay? Perfect mind, perfect, can't do wrong anymore, okay? We're no longer underneath the curse of sin and death, not anymore, okay? And God's going to use us really to establish and to execute judgment. Now, I want you to think about the whole world, okay? They're still held accountable, all right? We recognize the armies have been wiped out, but there's a lot of people that are still alive. I'm going to show you what happens with them. We got to go to Daniel 12 to look at this. So now think about Daniel, right? I mean, what a faithful guy. He purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself while he was there in Babylon. And just a great man of God. I mean, one of the greatest compliments you could ever probably receive is that he was just a man of an excellent spirit. I mean, what an example for us at the church to look to as a person of God. But he got all these revelations, right? And he was fasting, and God was speaking to him, and angels were coming to him, and he's getting visions of all these coming kingdoms, and he's interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he's seeing all these things at the end, like we're seeing, and kind of putting in some of the pieces into Revelation, because Daniel's kind of like the Old Testament book of Revelation, and you sync these things up together, and they become more clear, even though we don't have 100% clarity, but they become very much more clear. And look at verse 8, because this is what we've got to look at here. He goes, "And I heard, but I understood not, and I said, Oh my Lord, what shall the end of these things be?" You know, so Daniel's trying to digest all this, and he's wondering, what is going to happen at the end of all these things? Right? He's seen so much. He's seen the Antichrist. He sees the covenant that's cut. He sees the breaking of that covenant. And he doesn't understand all these things. He's getting them through revelation, but he's just wondering what's going to happen at the end. You know, kind of like the apostles, right? What are the signs of all these things and the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? You know, they're just, everybody has concerns and are inquisitive about the future. But we have the answers. So as he asked that, this is what's said to him. Verse 9, he said, "Go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up, they're sealed till the time of the end." Okay? Probably speaking about the book of Revelation, really. That would sync up with Daniel's book and give us greater clarity. He says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And then he goes back to this time period that we've looked at, this seven-year time period. And he said, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice," okay, remember that was probably the covenant, when the Jews would be able to once again do sacrifices and offerings in a rebuilt Jewish temple. It says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up," which is where the Antichrist goes in to be worshipped, where they set up his image, "there shall be 1,290 days." Okay, 1,290 days. So what is that? You got to go off a Hebrew calendar, okay? When this was written, it was written with a 360-day Hebrew calendar, and it is exactly 42 months or 3.5 years, dead center, middle of Daniel's 70th week, the seven-year time period, okay? Did I lose everybody? Guys tracking? So this is going to happen 3.5 years after the abomination of desolation. Christ will be back, okay? But look what he says here. "Blessed is he that waits," all right, "that waiteth." So these are the people that are alive, "and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." So now he jumps ahead here, and he says 1,335 days. What is this 45-day time period? Okay? Because remember, this is in the physical realm. All right, he's telling Dave, he's talking 3.5 years. He's talking to 42 months from the abomination of desolation till Christ comes back. But then he says, "Blessed is he that waits and comes to a day that would be 45 days beyond that point." What is that all about? Remember, we're coming back with the Lord to do what? To execute judgment, right? To execute justice. That's what the Bible says. God's going to use us to enforce righteousness and to do what is right. Go to Matthew 25 with me for a moment. Matthew 25 is a portion of Scripture known as the sheep-goat judgment. Okay, this is the judgment of the tribulation survivors. That means the ones that made it through the 7-year time period. Some have refused the mark of the beast, wouldn't worship the image. Some of them have received it, but they weren't at Armageddon, so they weren't destroyed. But they still got to give an account. We must all stand and give an account, the Scripture says. So now we pick up, right, after the coming of Christ. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Okay, so now globally, here comes the globe. They're all coming. And He's going to separate them one from another as a shepherd divides His sheep from the goats. Okay, big difference, whether you're His sheep or the goat, you know, His sheep hear His voice, another they won't follow, Jesus told us in John 10. But it says this, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left, and then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look, for I was hungry, You gave me meat, I was thirsty, You gave me drink. I was a stranger, You took me in. Naked, and You clothed me. I was sick, and You visited me. I was in prison, You came unto me. And then said the righteous, answered Him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? And when saw we Thee a stranger, took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King answered Him, said, verily I say unto you, and as much as you have done it unto the least of these, My brethren, you have done it unto Me. What does it show here? It shows that the biblical principles and truth of the Scripture had ruled their lives through the tribulation period. That's what it shows. That the Word of God actually caused them to minister to people who were going through hell while these people were walking through their own personal hell called the tribulation period. But they weren't selfish, they weren't self-focused, they were looking on the needs of others through this time. Why? Because the Word of God was at work in their life, because Christ was their Lord and Savior. And He says here, and then He said unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, you're cursed, into everlasting fire. And this is a key part, and you need to remember this, because everyone could a loving God send someone to hell? It's prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for humans. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. That's why it was created. He said, I was hungry and You gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, You gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, You took Me not in. Naked, and You clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, You visited Me not. You see, the nature of God, for God so loved the world, He gave. And when the nature of God is working in someone's life, they're giving, they're meeting the needs of other people, they're serving people, they're loving people. These individuals, they were self-focused, they were selfish, it was all about them. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see Thee hunger, thirst, stranger, naked, sick, prison, and did not minister unto Thee? And He answered and said, verily I say unto you, as much as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto Me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now go to Revelation with me. So as we see that sheep goat judgment, it's very important to know that, because what you have people who survived the tribulation. They're in their natural state. Okay? They're in their natural state, and in their natural state, they're coming into the kingdom age. Okay? Just like you and I are here now. That's how they come into the kingdom age. Not you and me. We're glorified. We're perfect. All right, we've been transformed. But these individuals, they're going into the kingdom age just like we are, just a regular human being that made a decision for Jesus Christ. Okay? These individuals that go into the kingdom age for this 1,000-year time period, it's going to be such a blessed time that there's going to be a great population boom. Okay, so they'll have children. And the earth will be amazingly repopulated once again, but it'll have different groups of people. It's going to have the glorified saints, you and I, Okay, we're perfected. We don't go back to this, thank God. We're delivered from this. But not them yet. They're saved, they get the kingdom. And they'll go into the kingdom in their natural state. So it says here, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, the witness of Jesus, the Word of God. Okay? For the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, neither did receive his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And look at, and they lived. And they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So here are these individuals. They were committed to the witness of Jesus and to the Word of God. Okay? Now, a couple decisions to be made. Okay? They had a choice. They had a decision. They could, during this time period, identify with Christ and pay the price now or renounce Christ and pay the price later. Okay? They made the wise choice. They were individuals that we see here that during this time period, decapitation is going to be the capital punishment of the 7-year trib period, and it's going to be a capital offense to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we see. Pretty severe, right? They were beheaded for their witness. They were committed to Christ. And they would not commit themselves to worshiping the beast, his image, or receiving the mark. And it says this about them, they lived. But I thought they got decapitated. No, they lived. It cost them physically, but they gained eternally. Lived, and not only did they live, but they reigned with Christ for 1,000. These are the tribulation saints. These are the individuals that were a part of the greatest revival ever to hit the planet that's going to take place during the 7-year time period where an innumerable amount of people from every kindred, tongue, and every nation gives their life for the gospel. So we see them here, right? And they're going to live, they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. So the goats, what happens to the goats? They go into judgment. They're not going to be around until after the 1,000 years that we're going to look at next week. But referring to these individuals who were martyrs during the tribulation period in verse 4, he said this is the first resurrection. So these individuals, these trib martyrs, they receive the promise of Christ that remained true to them during this time period that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because they believed on Him, though they were dead, yet they lived. They, like we, will be experiencing the promises of God. Verse 6 says this, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of His Christ, and they shall reign with Him for 1,000 years. Okay, the millennial reign of Christ is going to have several characteristics, okay? We're running out of time, but I just want to share with you a couple of things. Physical characteristics, the wild animals are going to be tamed. You know, the lions are going to eat like straw. You know, you see the lion will lay down with the lamb, the ox, they're all going to be cohabitating with one another. There's not going to be any worry. Your young children, you know, where's little Billy? Where did he go? He's out playing in the snake pit. You know, we have cobras around here, and he likes to play with them. There won't be any poison. There won't be any threat of death. Wild animals will be tamed. Crops are going to prosper. It's going to be a great time of prosperity on this planet. Isaiah 65 tells us during this 1,000-year time period that life is going to really be extended, okay? So that Isaiah 65 says that if somebody died at 100 years old, they would be considered a child. What a shame. He was just a child. He was only 100 years old when he died. I mean, these are the things that we're looking at. The Isaiah 51 and Ezekiel 36. Isaiah 51 says this, her wilderness will make like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Ezekiel 36 says that the desolate land now has become like the garden of the Lord. Of Eden. So all of us who wanted to know what the Garden of Eden is like, hey, we're going to get a picture of it during this 1,000-year time period. The spiritual characteristics of these days is Satan's going to be confined. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a millennium temple that will be rebuilt where they will offer animal sacrifices as a memorial to what Christ's sacrifice did for us. During the church age, nations will worship in Jerusalem. There's going to be worldwide knowledge of God. There's going to be the filling and the empowering of the Spirit over Israel. And on this planet, in this world, think about it today, righteousness and justice will prevail. Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' justice will prevail. Politically, there's going to be universal peace, okay? They're going to beat their swords into plowshares. They're going to take all the military implements and they're going to conform them and translate them or transfer them into gardening utensils because that's what's going to be needed because the world is going to be so fruitful, okay? The world will be blessed through Israel. And Christ will rule and he will judge all the nations. Isaiah, Micah, Zechariah, and Isaiah all bring about these truths, okay? So it's a time coming when the government's going to be on his shoulders, okay? That's what the kingdom age is. And it, look it, I was just studying it this week. I was like looking so forward to that. It just gets better after that. It just keeps getting better and better. Look it. As the people of God, we have no clue how blessed we are. No clue the depths and the intensity of the blessing that you and I have to be a part of the kingdom of God and to be associated with Jesus Christ. You know what Paul told us? Paul said that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay? And so for all of us, we should be living a righteous life. That's our position. We're righteous because of what Christ did on the cross, right? His righteousness was transferred to us when we exercised our faith in him, when we got saved. Okay, so righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We should have joy in our lives when we look through the lens of eternity. We should have peace in our life because we have made Christ our Lord and Savior, so we have peace with God. But I'm telling you, in my life, you know, the Bible speaks about joy unspeakable. And the Bible speaks about the peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable, I've experienced. It's an experience. It's outside of regular joy. It just joy unspeakable. It's like a baptism of joy. I experienced it once in my life. Once in my life. Okay? The peace that passes understanding, it's like a baptism of peace. I've experienced that twice in my life. Okay? And I'm telling you what, it's the most overwhelming experience that you will have, and that's just the peace and joy. I've heard people like Finney that said that they got a baptism of God's love that was so intense, so beautiful, and so pure it almost killed them. They had to ask God to stop. And you know what these are? These are little previews of what lies ahead for us. Just little previews. The kingdom of God, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And it could be 7 years from now, a little over 7 years from now. We could be experiencing this, right? We could be saddled up, riding back, and fixing this disaster down here. We got a lot to look forward to. Father, we bless you. We thank you that your word is just such a gauge for us and such great promises to us. I ask, Lord, that the little bit that we've looked at today is you lift the curse off of this world, Lord, and all the beauty of what you originally created things to be like, Lord, that it would bring a lifting to the hearts and the souls that are in here today. Father, the things that we're currently experiencing in this life, Lord, they can get a little heavy, even like Paul told us, that in the end days, perilous times will come, Lord, depressing, crushing times. These These are some of the things that we're beginning to experience a little bit. Nowhere like our brethren and sister overseas in the underground churches are, but for us it's beginning to become something kind of new. And Lord, as we see all these pieces coming together, Father, we recognize that things are getting synced up for your return for your church. And I pray, Father, that regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, I pray, Father, that your still small voice, Lord, is what we would hear, and it would be speaking to us, Lord, that we should be lifting up our eyes because our redemption is drawn nigh. You're coming back so quickly for your church, Lord, and may we be ready to meet you face to face, 1,000-year time period. Lord, can't even imagine the enemy incarcerated, all evil wiped out, you reigning here for 1,000 years, us reigning with you, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, just an outpouring of something that is so beyond our ability to even comprehend it. Nevertheless, it'll be our existence for 1,000 years. We bless you and we glorify you, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that as we think upon these things, that the truths of our citizenship being in heaven would cause us to remember that we're pilgrims here and we're not to be settlers. So God, by your grace, help our roots to be very shallow. So when it's time to go, Lord, it's easy to go. And that you'd make us all ready to go. Give us opportunities this week to share the hope of Jesus Christ with a perishing world who has lost hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I figured I owed it to Isaac Watts to play that song in its proper context. That song's about the kingdom age, about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. And maybe we'll be singing that for 1,000 years. So look at, if you're here today and you know what, you got questions because life's just throwing it at you, we'd love to talk with you, love to pray with you, give you a Bible, whatever you might need. But the key, the truth, is Jesus Christ. If deception leads to destruction, truth leads to life. And Jesus is the truth, and you'll know the truth, and he'll set you free. So God bless you. Have a great day.